Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.
Hello, I'm Alan Stanford, and welcome to Macbeth in Monaghan. Now, today we're going to be dealing with the next cycle of the play. We've already examined the three opening cycles, which are the prophecy, the murder, and the betrayal. Macbeth, having been prophesied he will become king, becomes king by murdering, by assassinating his predecessor, Duncan. He's gained power, he's got everything that the witches seem to have promised him, but he's got a worry, and that is that he will not be able to pass it on to his own children. He will have none. That the line will go to Banquo, his friend. Macbeth tries to sidestep this prophecy. He decides he won't let that happen, and he plans it by murdering his friend Banquo. That's the great act of betrayal. He murders his friend in order to change the future. But he fails because Banquo's son Fleance escapes. Macbeth now realizes that all he's got is himself. He'll be king for as long as he remains king. There is no future. There's no line of succession. He realizes that the witches, even though they told him the truth, didn't tell him the whole truth. So he wants to know more. He decides to go back to them and find out what the future really holds. The fact of it is that Macbeth is beginning to lose his reason. The power that he's got, and the fact that he has basically been sleepless since the murder of Duncan. And he's also now being haunted by the ghost of Banquo, is tipping his reason over the edge. He needs to know not just that he will survive, but how he will survive. So he decides to return to the source of the prophecy, the Weird Sisters.
Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw.
Toad that under cold stone days and nights has 31.
Sweltered venom sleeping got, by life first in the charmed pot.
Double toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Fillet of a fenny snake, in the cauldron boil and bake.
Eye of newton, toe of frog, wool of bat and tongue of dog.
Double toil and trouble, fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Shakespeare's audience would have believed in witches, would have accepted the very idea of witches. They would have been afraid of them. So by playing out this scene, by having the witches put the ingredients into the cauldron, a fillet of a fenny snake, eye of newt and toe of frog, they're all fairly disgusting things. But the audience, Shakespeare's audience, would have accepted this scene as being a reflection of what really goes on when witches gather together. He's setting up something that is, to the audience's mind, very, very frightening. And for the frightening witches, I'd like to thank Amy Boyd, Esther Condell, and Alison Dudgeon, all from Collegiate. Thank you. The witches, by their invocation, have summoned up a new character for Macbeth to meet. This is the character of Hecate. She represents the link to the demons. She represents the link to true prophecy. And she also has a very important thing to say about Macbeth's nature, in fact, the nature of most human beings.
He shall spurn fate, scorn death, and bear. He hopes above wisdom, grace, and fear. And you all know security is mortal's chiefest enemy.
Security is mortal's chiefest enemy. What Hecate is saying to the witches is to catch him, to damn him, we make him feel safe. Because once he feels safe, he will do anything he wants, and that's what's going to destroy him. He'll lose the run of himself once he feels that he's completely safe. And it's by that misleading prophecy, a prophecy that always tells the truth, Macbeth will be drawn to his doom, to his destruction. Hecate, in a sense, represents an even greater power than the witches themselves, a power that the witches must be obedient to, the power of evil. Macbeth also recognizes the power of Hecate. He's very, very ready to summon up, to conjure up evil.
I conjure you by that which you profess. Howe'er you come to know it, answer me. Though you untie the winds and let them fight against the churches, though yesty waves confound and swallow navigation up, the bladed corn be lodged and trees blown down, the castles topple on their warders' heads, though palaces and pyramids do slope their heads to the foundations, though the treasure of nature's germens tumble altogether, even till destruction sicken, answer me to what I ask you.
He's actually condemning everything for the sake of his own need to know. He's saying, though the winds knock down the churches and the waves swallow everything up, I don't care. We'll have thunder, famine, we'll have storms, we'll have tempest. Nothing matters except what I want to know. He's really in the mood for summoning something serious. And thank you to Sarah Woods for Hecate and Villa van Niekerk, both from Collegiate.
Drama on One.
Sundays at 8 p.m.
rte.ie/drama on one.
Drama on One.